Good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch, and this is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair, broadcasting live on the Voice of Vashon all over the world to Captain Joe's people all over the world. To satisfy the requirements of the Federal Communications Commission, this is Voice of Vashon 101.9 on the frequency modulated band, and broadcasting by streaming, live, unscripted, and unrehearsed all over the world on voiceofvashon.org. My greetings today sadly go out to all of Captain Joe's people who, in the last short period of time, let us say since the 2 weeks that we lost broadcasts, that we lost because they were not able to be archived, and this last week, Captain Joe's people who have lost people in their immediate family. And when I get to the binnacle list, I will talk just a little bit about that. But my greetings go out with my most heartfelt feelings of sadness for you all. And in particular, those who have lost parents. So that takes me to the binnacle list, and in fact, two of the people closest to me have lost parents, one a mom and one their dad. Now, these are people that had acquired a considerable amount of chronological years, and in at least the case of the father who died last week, this was not something that was unexpected. But that doesn't mean that we don't miss them and that we are incredibly sad when we lose a parent. My own mother, Toots, lived until she was 95, but my father was killed in an airplane crash when he was only 51. My Mary R.'s mom died very young. Mary R. was only 14 when she died. And then conversely, we have parents who live all the way to the very end of a long time, in the case of my mother and in the case of the father that just died, almost a century. That doesn't make it any less difficult. It doesn't make it any less sad as we miss them. The other entry on the binnacle list is my own daughter, Laurie. I had a chance to have a long conversation with her a couple of days ago. She called me up and wanted to wish me a happy new year. And then we got into the recovery period that she's undergoing as a result of having a knee replaced. And I got the opportunity to explain to her why the binnacle list exists, what the genesis of the term is, why we still call it the binnacle list, and the good effects that come from being entered on the binnacle list, because that means that the concentrated energy of all of Captain Joe's people is directed at all of the people that are on the binnacle list. Some of you who are on the list are known only to me. Some of you are known to all of Captain Joe's people who listen to this broadcast. But it doesn't matter whether you are known or unknown to the listenership. The thoughts and concerns of all of us are directed in your direction. And all of you are on, not only on the binnacle list, but you remain, as always, in the palm of my hand. So, it is important that you follow the instructions of the medical practitioners who are taking care of you. I'm trying to do my best to do that myself. And in my own case, I am much, much better this year than I was just a year ago, because a year ago, I was beginning my treatment plan. I didn't know how it was going to go. I didn't know if I was going to get sick or what was going to happen. Now all of those things have been made clear. And having been made clear, I know what it is that I have to do, and most of the time, I do it. I remind all hands, it is not yet time to be practicing the flag-folding ceremony for your captain. And that is what I have to say about all of that. This morning, I met Amanda, who is the new general manager, I think is the title that they're using now, for the Voice of Vashon. I asked her how we are doing on the fundraising, which is called here Old Man Winter. And she said, I've only been the general manager for 3 hours. And so I don't know the answer to that question. And I said, Amanda, when you say, sir, I relieve you, or ma'am, I relieve you, you then assume full responsibility and you have full knowledge, or you should have full knowledge of all that is going on in your new command. You don't get to say, I don't know, because it came from the person behind me. So she said she didn't know, and so I went to counselor who is on the board, and he assured me that all is well. And so I am going to close out Old Man Winter by saying this. If I never tell any of my people that they should or should not donate to a particular cause, or that they should donate at all, what I do say is this, that I make a donation on behalf of all of us. And those of Captain Joe's people who listen to this broadcast and feel that they want to be a part of it financially, then I do ask that you go on to the Voice of Vashon website. It will tell you or show you how to do it. And I do ask that you, when you make your donation, that you tell now Amanda that this is to help keep Captain Joe up in the captain's chair on the Voice of Vashon. And if you choose to not become a part financially for whatever your reasons are, those are good and sufficient reasons for me. And all I say is I thank everybody who contributes. But more to the point, I thank everybody who listens. I thank everybody who sends me things. And for example, an example of things that I get sent are the ice charts for the Great Lakes, which come to me from my dear and good friend John, J-O-N John, who sends me all kinds of wonderful things. And now he sends me the ice chart so that I can see that the ice is forming up all over the Great Lakes. John shares with me his family, his young son, Kodiak, and he shares with me all kinds of information, photographs, and concerns. And we talk frequently, and those conversations and the friendship of John and his family are part of the treasures of my life, and for that I am enormously grateful. The book that I had 2 weeks ago, I'm going to talk about again briefly because the program did not get archived. And so if I'm repeating something that all of you have heard, then that's because not that my memory is faltering, but because I may just have forgotten the order in which I did this. So the book is The Voyages of the Discovery, and it is... The subtitle is The Illustrated History of Scott's Ship, The Scott, of course, is Captain Robert Falcon Scott, Royal Navy, who was the leader of the second group to reach the South Pole. And on the return journey from the South Pole, Scott and his entire party all died. We know the story. You all know the story. I've told it a couple of times here on, and we'll tell parts of it again because they are very instructive. The book, though, is written by Anne Savours, S-A-V-O-U-R-S. And this particular version of it is a very thick, very heavy paperback. And I'm not sure that it was ever printed in a hardback copy. And the reason that I'm not sure about that is that this particular copy is inscribed to me by Anne. Now, I believe that Anne has probably crossed her own bar. I need to check that out. But there's some wonderful stories in here, and one of the pieces of it about which I knew very little before I got into the book was that Scott himself led an expedition in 1904 to Antarctica. And his second in command for a while was Shackleton. And Shackleton had to be sent back to New Zealand because he had physical problems. And one of the pieces of this particular story was that Scott was asked one time about the qualities that he looked for in people that he recruited to be part of his expeditions. And he said, "I always want sailors. And I want sailors because they have met and mostly conquered all of the challenges that come with going to sea, and in particular in heavy weather." The book itself covers the life of Discovery, the ship itself. But in order to cover that story correctly and fully, and had to tell many, many stories about expeditions and about the people who made those expeditions. The Voyages of the Discovery, then, is the name of the book. It was published by one of Richard Branson's Virgin companies. It's called the Virgin Press. And the book itself has a foreword in it by the late Duke of Edinburgh. And it also has a preface in it by the late Sir Peter Scott. Sir Peter was the only child of Captain Robert Falcon Scott, and he was knighted in his own right. He was a naturalist, and he was knighted for his own accomplishments. Captain Scott, of course, never was knighted. There's no such thing as a posthumous knighthood, and so he was never knighted. He was never ennobled. Whereas Shackleton, of course, was knighted, and my much-loved and now late friend Sir Vivian Fuchs, who accomplished what Shackleton started out to do, the first transect of the Antarctic continent, all of those people were knighted. So I highly recommend the book, and I highly recommend that you not be daunted by either its size or by the size of the type. The photographs, some of the photographs came from Scott Polar Research Institute, and it has on the cover of my particular copy a photograph of Discovery. And so, parenthetical insertion here, Sir Peter's wife was Lady Scott, and when we were getting ready to do the dedication of the Shackleton Memorial Library, it was the intent of Dr. John Heap, who was my director, and myself, that we would invite people that might be instrumental in healing the rift between the Shackleton and the Scott families. The reason for that rift is far beyond what we can talk about, that I have time to talk about here, but maybe I'll get to it in some future broadcast. The point is that Sir Peter had died not too long before that, but Lady Scott was still alive. She came, and the Shackleton family was represented by the Honorable Alexandra, who was Sir Ernest's granddaughter. And it was a glorious, glorious time. So that's the book, The Voyages of the Discovery by Anne Savours, S-A-V-O-U-R-S. The publisher is the Virgin Press, and it is highly recommended. And I have not looked on any of my book sources to see whether it's readily available, but I think with a little bit of digging, if you are interested in having a copy, that with a little bit of seaman-like digging, which all of you are so skilled at, that you will be able to find a copy of it. I am compelled by my own conscience to say something about Captain Mark Kelly, USN retired. I'm compelled to do it because I don't understand what's happening. And I looked at Captain Kelly's record. And I keep referring to him as Captain Kelly rather than Senator Kelly, because what has happened is apparently he is going to be in some way reduced in rank from his captaincy. And I don't see how that can happen. I have a friend, a colleague, and a brother icebreaker captain who also happens to be a Coast Guard attorney. He is a friend of many, many years standing. He is completely trusted. And he and I had legal business together when I was the commander up in the Sioux. And I convened the first and only court-martial that I ever convened in all the years that I was a commanding officer. And this gentleman then was much junior. He is much junior to me. And he was assigned as the defense counsel for this young sailor that I had failed. Whenever any one of my people came before me at the mast, or in this case, a court-martial, I considered that to be a personal failure on my part. So I had failed in this particular case and had convened this court-martial, and this particular gentleman to whom I am referring now was his defense counsel. I sent him a signal yesterday, and I said, would you, counselor, please explain to me how a person with such a sterling record, who is not being investigated for a court-martial under the Uniform Code of Military Justice, that I can see, is being proclaimed on some outlet that's not even a military outlet, that he is going to be reduced in rank, and thus his retirement pay is going to be reduced. So please explain to me how this can happen, because so far as I can tell, he's not being held for a court-martial. He's not been recalled to active duty. And I looked at his record, and I saw that there were some incredible similarities between his and mine. We both of us were educated and trained at the expense of the American people. we both of us worked very hard to acquire the education and training that would fit us for the route that each of us took. Each of us has served in one of our wars, both of those wars being undeclared wars. Each of us have served in an environment, one in space and one in the deep and hard ice. Is my devotion and dedication to this country, which has existed since I was 17, to be questioned? Should I make some remark and it be picked up by an informant? Would I be in the same situation as Captain Kelly? What I don't understand is if, in fact, there is some feeling on the part of the Navy Judge Advocate General, the JAG, Navy JAG Corps, that Captain Kelly has committed some offense under the Uniform Code of Military Justice. There is a procedure for doing this. And that procedure includes an investigation, and it includes then the bringing of charges. It includes, in the case of a retired officer like Captain Kelly and me, being recalled to active duty. And it requires that I be represented by counsel, and it requires that I be at present at each one of the proceedings. We've talked a little bit about all of this in conjunction with the Fitzgerald collision, the John F. McCain collision, the fire of Bonhomme Richard, all of those things we've talked about, how the Uniform Code of Military Justice is set up to assure that the accused is given a fair trial. I don't see any of that happening here. So I went to my friend and my colleague, and I said, Counselor, I don't understand. Please educate me, for I am open to be educated. And I await his reply, because I know that when it comes, it will be both thoughtful and complete and honest, and he will tell me exactly what's going on, and I will tell you exactly what is going on. But I don't understand it right now. And when there is a situation as serious as this, which appears to me to be attacking the entire fabric of our whole military disciplinary system, I need to know about it. And I need to talk about it, and I need to tell you about it. So stand by on that particular subject. Another signal came to me not too long ago. It says that the Coast Guard has exceeded its recruiting goals for the last 2 years. It is my hope and my wish, and certainly would be my command if I were in a position to ever command again, that these goals have been exceeded because the people who do the recruiting have gone out and have taken in only the very best. I hope that there have been no reduction of standards, whether those reduction, if those reductions have in fact happened, that they did not happen. Sometimes a less than official word goes out that says, essentially, you can skate just a little bit on this particular matter, on this particular issue. But when we take in people who are not conforming to the standards that we set for enlistment or for bringing in as officers, officer candidates to the academy or officer candidate school, or for enlistment, it is not the recruiters who pay for that. It is the crews and the commanding officers who pay for that. And it is the people that we go out to save, the people that we go out to rescue, or the people that we go out to apprehend if it's a law enforcement mission. They're the ones who pay for it. And we pay for it in terms of repeated appearances before the captain at the mast, a process that I absolutely hated to do every time I had to do it. And happily, I didn't have to do it very often. But when you have someone who has been brought in under less than optimal circumstances, then there is a price that is paid for that. The Romans knew this. They knew this when they were recruiting people for the Roman legions over 2,000 years ago. We could learn a lot. And I would imagine that in places like West Point, where the previous campaigns that go back hundreds and hundreds of years are studied in great detail, those particular factors are also examined. So I am saying a well done and a bravo Zulu to the Coast Guard recruiters who have made this happen. And it is with my hope and wish that each one of those who goes to boot camp at Cape May is there because he or she wants to be there and is ready and willing to accept the tender ministrations of the most hardened Master Chief Bosun's mate, who is going to teach them how to stay alive. And not only stay alive themselves, but be an asset to their shipmates. And at the same time, to fulfill all of the obligations that each of us takes on when we take the oath. One of the things that I find to be very interesting, and I only have a couple of minutes left to talk about this, and of course, I've quickly come to the end. I probably dragged on a little bit about Captain Kelly, but that subject is very near and close to my heart. Not because he isn't a big boy, not because he can't defend and take care of himself. All of those things are true. But I see all of this as doing complete degradation to the military justice system. And I have worked my whole working life to not only defend that system, but to use it the way it was intended. And I have had some success in that regard. So that's what I have to say about all of that. So the last thing I'm going to bring up, I'm going to talk a little bit. In fact, I'll include it next week because it has to do with the cancellation of the Constellation Frigate program in the Navy and the Navy adopting what we call the National Security Cutter. I have some more information about all of that. And I'm going to talk a little bit about it, and I'm going to talk in particular about the attitude that I have been hearing that somehow or other the Coast Guard is my Omega watch is telling me that it's time to put a sock in it, so I will. But I will talk about this more next week. I've got it on my list for next week. And a couple of other things that I didn't get to because I allowed myself to drag on a little bit about a couple of other subjects. But it is my program. It's your program, too, especially is it your program. And because you take a little bit of time out of your day to listen to me pontificate at 12:30 on every Tuesday. So if you have subjects that you would like me to talk about, send me a signal. And if you want to take issue with me about anything that I talk about, send me a signal. And in the meantime, this is your Captain Joe. We never say goodbye. We say until we meet again. All of you, and in particular those who are on the Binnacle list, are, as always, in the palm of my hand. My respect, my regard, and my affection for each one of you remains as high or higher than it has ever been. And with that, this is your Captain Joe. I remain, as always, on station and watching properly.